special app. It's a Wednesday version. Usually it's Thursday at 2 p.m. So, you know, you got to spice it up a little bit, especially with the holiday week here. Thanksgiving for those of us in America. So we got Trader Maine, who's going to be a great guest today. Apparently he's battling the flu, so hopefully he makes it through all the questioning live. We'll see how it goes. But before we get started, let me kick it to OSF real quick and talk about our sponsor.
Yeah, hey guys, as you know, the show is powered by Rollbit. Rollbit is one of the leading and most reputable crypto casinos out there, but you can bet on sports, crypto trading, NFTs. If you fancy punting some crypto on the World Cup, that's the place to go right now for it. And we've all been losing money betting on countries like Argentina and Germany, so that kind of sucks, but is what it is. Like last time, we're going to be giving away prizes throughout the show, so we're going to have some coupons for you guys to give away. This will give you guys free trades on the platform, which you can use up to 1,000x leverage, should you wish. And at the end, we're going to have another loot box spin. I think we'll get two, maybe three guests up to have a spin. In the loot box right now, there is Bored Ape. It's a trippy ape with a party hat, so I think it's a pretty rare one. There's a hoodie CryptoPunk like last time, and we have a bunch of Kanpai Pandas in there as well. So it's a good stuff to win, and we'll be making that spin at the end of the show. So to kick it off, I'm going to give you guys the first coupon with which you can claim a bunch of free trades on. I believe the total value of each coupon is $25, so you get five times $5 trades in each one. I'm going to pin a thread after I give you the code that will show you how to actually go and claim the coupon, and you'll need to have an account on rollbit.com or rollbot.com, depending on your jurisdiction, to in order to claim it. So the first code or the first coupon is rectjuice55. That's R-E-K-T-G-U-I-C-E 55. Rectjuice55. I'll pin the thread to look at that for how to claim, and I'll pass it back over to KBM.
All right, Maine, welcome, brother. How are you feeling?
I'm doing good, man. I think I got COVID variant, 1,005, but we keep on trucking, bro.
Yeah, no, I feel you. I just was down in Mexico a couple weeks ago. I think last show I said I was recovering, and now I'm still recovering because it seems like I'm getting a new variant each week every time I go out. I guess that's what getting old does. I think you touched on a thread about that a bit ago.
Yeah, I don't think I ever have given myself the opportunity to fully get healthy before going on an absolute bender again. So maybe I'll learn my lesson one day.
Yeah, trial and error. So as we get started here, we just want to start from the top with you, man. We're going to just dive in. We want to know what's the origin story for Trader Maine, not just the name, but like, when did you start trading? How'd you get into trading? What'd you go to school for? Just like all the beginning stuff. Let's run it down.
Gosh. Okay. So, originally I'm an accountant by trade. I'm Jewish. So when you grow up in a Jewish household, you kind of go to school to get a career, so my older brother's a dentist, my other brother's a dentist, my cousins are lawyers, and I was going to be an accountant. And that's just kind of how I grew up. It's like, you go to school, you go to university, you get a degree, you get a job, and that's just what you do. As soon as I kind of got into the workforce in accounting, I realized very quickly that I was going to commit suicide if I had to do that for the rest of my life. So once I kind of got my certifications and my CPA and that thing, I quit immediately after. My parents weren't very happy, but it's I told them, I was I can't do this. I will be miserable if I'm stuck in this. And what I learned over my next, kind of handful of jobs is the things that I valued the most were being in control of my own income. So, my input having a direct link to my output, how much money I can actually make, and then having some freedom of time, not really having a boss. And so initially that led me into sales, and, I got into that initially through working at a bank. People think it's finance. At the end of the day, you're selling financial products. It's no different. It's sales, you're earning commission and things like that. Hopped around, did a bunch of different types of sales focused roles in banking and finance, got into recruitment, which again is just the sale of people. I actually got into crypto through a friend of mine who would always invite me to these multi-level marketing meetings. You had that buddy who'd be like, dude, you got to come to this thing. It's free lunch. There's going to be beer, and you just got to sit through a presentation. And when you're 22, like free lunch and beer is sweet, right? So like I'll sit through like a fucking PowerPoint for some food. And every time, you know, 5 minutes into the thing, they bring up the PowerPoint and it's like a pyramid. It's like all you got to do is sign up, you know, this person underneath you, and all of a sudden you're making money. So this was the same guy who told me about crypto back in 2012. So you'd think, you know, the guy's been bringing me all these like MLM schemes. I wasn't really super keen on listening to him about like the future of money and finance. So initially I kind of just like sloughed it off. I was like, you're crazy, bro. Like Bitcoin, what the fuck is that? That sounds dumb. You're dumb. I'm not interested. And then that first kind of bull run that I was aware of, I had made a Twitter account around 2013, 2014. I kind of, you know, when this Bitcoin thing that he introduced me to all of a sudden was trading at $300-$400. And just a few months prior, it was, you know, tens of dollars. I was like, oh, maybe there's something here. So I took whatever little money I had. I went all in on crypto. I joined crypto Twitter, which back in 2013 was very different than what it is today. And I just bought whatever anyone on there said to buy: barbecue coin, file coin, feather coin, name coin, any coin. I bought it. And for a few months, I was doing really well, not knowing what I was actually doing, but more so just, you know, everyone's a genius in a bull run, as I'm sure a lot of you guys listening, you know, kind of experienced over the last 18 months. You thought you might know what you're doing until the market turns. And that's what happened to me, right? Once we topped out at $1,100, $1,200 and things started going down, I didn't know anything. I didn't know how to read a chart. I didn't know I could take profit. I didn't know anything. So I basically held everything that I had bought all the way up, all the way back down to effectively, you know, zero. And that was kind of my foray into crypto. But then more than anything, I was kind of turned off of crypto. I was like, this shit's a scam. But it made me interested in learning about the markets and being like, okay, there's all these charts and things, right? People are making predictions. Like there's got to be something here that I can learn to potentially do this, you know, with some consistently and actually, like, you know, make predictions and get things right. And that got me into, you know, kind of regular trading. So in 2015 and 16, I started learning how to trade currencies. That was kind of my first kind of, I guess, experience with technical analysis, as you could say, and looking at, you know, the charts and trying to make decisions based on trends and price action and things like that. And I spent months and months and years, you know, paying for mentorships, watching YouTube videos, doing all sorts of shit, trial and error, until I finally kind of got a hang of it. After about 2 years, I kind of was consistently able to make a little bit of money. It wasn't crazy, but, you know, it was a nice little supplementary income to the work I was doing. And then when I saw crypto kind of heat up again in 2017, I knew what was coming. I don't know, the skills that I had learned in those other markets, I'm like, oh, these are transferable to this crypto thing. You know, this thing is in a giant uptrend. I want to start getting long. So that was kind of my origin in terms of like getting into crypto and starting to get popular, I think, in 2017 as well, is because I was, you know, relatively accurate on the way up and the way down. And I did pretty well in that last bull run, and then, you know, was able to effectively you know, retire myself in this most recent one. So it took me a solid, you know, almost three cycles, but the name is not nearly as exciting. I love the rapper Gucci Mane, and Trader Mane was already taken, so I just added a Y.
Love it. We should have had OSF playing Gucci Mane then.
Yeah, I love DMX too.
Yeah, we brought you in hard.
So can I ask, how does this last cycle feel different to the first two that you were part of? Like, it sounds like you were a bit of a rookie, I guess, for the first one. You learned all your skills, and then you've come back for the 2017 one, and obviously the last one. Like, how has it felt different in terms of the people around, and like how you maybe even approach trading the market?
You know, so up until about 2 weeks ago, I felt like this time it was different, because I'm like, oh man, we're like, even though, like, you know, we're in a bear market right now and prices are down, like, you know, industries are here, at least we're legit now. You know, this thing that I've dedicated almost a decade of my life to is like legit. And now that all this shit has happened with FTX and everything, it's like, oh, maybe everything's just the exact same as it was before, and the whole industry is a joke, just on an even bigger scale than I imagined possible. So that's kind of depressing. I knew going into this most recent cycle that I was not going to make nearly as much money as some of my friends were on the way up, but I knew I was going to keep the majority of my money on the way down. I'm a risk-averse degenerate, I like to say. Compared to average daily people, the majority of my friends, I am the biggest degenerate that they know. But relative to some of my crypto friends, I'm a little bit more on the risk-averse side. But I knew exactly what I was looking for. Like, I have an email that I wrote out to my friends and family in 2018 when Bitcoin was like 3 to 4K. I was like, I think Bitcoin's going to like 40 to 50K. I knew I was going to be buying spot, leverage trading on the way up, primarily just trading Bitcoin and Ethereum and getting the fuck out. I was comfortable with the amount of money I had at risk and the multiple I was targeting, knowing that a lot of my friends were going to run it up way bigger than me, doing DeFi, NFTs, all this other stuff. That just never really was my game. But I knew I was going to keep it on the way down because I knew when I exited, I knew I wasn't going to, you know, screw myself, chopping myself up on the way back down. I was shorting on the way down. So it felt good in that I felt ready, right? Like, when you're in the heat of the bull market, there's so much going on. It's very easy to get distracted. It's too many opportunities almost. So I knew exactly what I wanted to see and exactly what I was looking for, and I was able to execute on it. And I think that obviously helped me make money, but it also helped me, you know, not get too ruined, you know, when things eventually did go bad. And as we're seeing over the last couple of weeks here, things can go way worse than you can even possibly imagine. So you have to always be prepared. But that would be kind of the biggest difference, I'd say, is I knew exactly what I was looking for and exactly what I wanted to see happen. I had a plan and I executed on it, and that felt good.
Yeah, it's something that I picked up on just like watching your videos regularly. It's you're not like maybe, like you said, you're more risk averse as crypto traders go. Like, it's you're very much about stop losses, like good setups for trades. And maybe that was that the what you always had in 2011 and 17, or like did that change for this cycle? Were you still doing that, or were you just kind of going big in 2017? That's how much you made. And I guess the second part of that is that requires a lot of discipline. So like maybe talk about how you look at trades and how you look at how to catch trends like that.
Yeah. So, I mean, in 2013, it was pure degeneracy. I had no idea what I was doing. I just bought stuff because people told me to buy it. And as we've all experienced now, having been through at least one cycle, like, you know, you can almost throw a dart at a board when everything's going up, right? Within a couple of weeks, you come back and you're up on that position. But where I learned about like kind of the systematic risk taking, you know, using stops, risking a set amount of my portfolio, that came from Forex, because the way that I learned to trade, it's like, okay, you risk 2% of your account balance for a potential return of 6%. That's a 3-to-1 reward to risk ratio. And if you have a strike rate of, you know, 40%, you can make money doing that. And it's like, it seems boring, and it is in a lot of ways. And it's not to say that I don't have situations where I ape and I do dumb shit and I take, you know, large positions that I shouldn't. I absolutely do. But I definitely have taught myself, I guess through trial and error more than anything, like the amount of time, the most money I make is when I'm hitting. I always liken it to baseball, right? Like, you win the game hitting singles. The home runs just come, right? Like, you don't go out there and go, I'm going to hit a home run on this trade. You're like, I'm going to hit a single and another single and another single. And all of a sudden the bases are loaded. And that's when that trade you take ends up becoming a huge runner. And that's your month maker, your year maker. And I learned through trial and error that I'm going to make more money focusing on compounding small wins over and over and over again. And occasionally a big win just falls in there than I am trying to hit that home run trade and taking a lot of risk trying to hit that home run trade. Because, you know, you might strike out 3 or 4 times before you get that home run, where if I'm just hitting singles, right, and then you get that home run, it all adds up and it compounds very nicely. The only way to do that, in my opinion, is to actually get in the market and trade. Like, you're going to learn, You're going to learn over a long enough time horizon what works for you and what doesn't. I think any trader who's worth their salt, they know exactly what conditions they do well in. Doesn't mean that they stick to those conditions. We're human at the end of the day. But I know what situations I operate best in, and I try and step on the gas when those conditions are present. And I try to stay out of them, you know, when they aren't. Right now, I would love to not really be trading, but with this whole FTX debacle, I kind of am forcing myself to, because, you know, I am a degen at heart and I got to make it all back.
Do you have any tricks or words of advice you can give to people to manage that discipline side of things? Like, you know, it's a great strategy to take the small wins and just do that over and over and over again and take high probability bets and rack up your wins that way. But sometimes, you know, things are really tempting and you want to like fucking ape something or go crazy. Like, what do you do? Like, when you're in a position and you're like, damn, like, I really, really want to ape this, but I know I shouldn't. Like, what do you tell yourself, or do you have any like triggers or anything like that that prevents you or pulls you back from doing the wrong thing, basically?
I would say when you're learning, do it, right? Do it. If you feel like, hey, I want to ape this thing, do it. But then note in your journal, right? I don't really journal like I used to, but I used to journal a lot. Note how you feel. Why did you want to take this trade? Was it because a bunch of people on Twitter were talking about Litecoin, like Litecoin going crazy right now? It's up like 50% in 3 days. Like, I'm sure there's people who are like, I better long some Litecoin because everyone's talking about it. All the big accounts are long, but it's like, you got to realize all those accounts, they've been long it for 3-4 days now. You know what I mean? They're already up 30-40%. You're getting in late, but sure, do it. Write down your reasoning why. Is there an actual trade here? Is there a setup according to your TA or whatever you do, your indicators? Or are you buying it because of FOMO, right? But do it, journal it, and write down how you feel. And did it end up working out, right? Do the post-mortem of the trade as well. After the trade's over, did it work? Did it not work? Did you make money? Did you lose money? What did you learn? And once you can start identifying those emotions in yourself, it becomes a lot easier to control them. It's very easy to be like, oh, FOMO, you know, I have FOMO, or I'm feeling greedy and I don't want to close the trade or whatever. But when you've actually experienced those emotions and you can identify them in yourself, you know yourself, right? And you're like, oh, this is what I'm like when I feel FOMO. I can't step, or I'm feeling greedy. I can't step away from the computer. I can't stop. I'm on the 1 minute chart and I'm staring at it. Like, each person, it's going to be different. But once you learn how to identify these emotions in yourself and acknowledge that they exist, then it becomes easier to control. But the only way to do it is to get the reps in my opinion. Like, I think one of the biggest, I don't know if misnomer is the right word, but the misconceptions of trading is people think you can learn all this shit in a book or watching a YouTube video or on Twitter. Like, you have to just do it. Like, you have to get in there. You have to risk your own money. You have to go through the emotional roller coaster. You have to go through the ringer, and then you have to learn from those mistakes. All of that pain and suffering you go through means nothing if you don't try and, you know, adjust after the fact. But that would be my piece of advice, is like, get in there and actually get your hands dirty with your own money. Learn to identify these feelings, and then you can learn to control them.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's so funny. It's like shit that I've been trading for a decade. It's the same shit that I struggle with all the time. Like, it's just always the repetition of getting there, doing that, and the mental side of it, just like adding up small wins and it turns into a home run. It all just hits home for me as well, just because it's something I'm always battling with. I think the mental side, psychology side of trading is something I focus on a ton, because it is such a wholly mental game. Once you get to like the next level of it, it's about battling emotions, knowing your euphoria, knowing, like, you know, despair, and just like being able to counter those within yourself. It really, it's really great to hear you say all that. I think people can learn a lot from you. And I think the YouTube videos you make are great with that too. So that's awesome. When you're dealing with that kind of stuff, like, what are some of the biggest losses on the way, on like the struggles on your journey that you've had so far? You have any that stick out in your mind, like some spots you had to battle back and really test yourself and test your emotional side of it?
Yeah, I mean, I'm in one right now. Like, I lost over 7 figures on FTX. And this one feels weird for me because it's not like a trading loss. You know what I mean? Like, this feels like someone came up to me and like stole my watch and ran away, because it's gone. I'm not getting that watch back. It's gone. Whereas a trading loss, you can kind of compartmentalize it and being like, well, I did X, Y, and Z that was dumb, and now I'm here, right? where I click the button. This just feels like a robbery, which makes it feel different. But gosh, my biggest, my most recent memory, probably, I took, I had a mental number that I was working towards at this, like, kind of the tail end of this bull run, where I was like, once this trading account gets to this number, I'm taking all the money out. You know what I mean? Like, I was like, and I was just, I'm working, I'm getting closer and closer. And I'm like, I remember the exact moment, because I'm out with some friends, I'm long fucking everything. And it's the Jake Paul fight back in April or whatever it was. I think it was April 19th. And I'm out with some friends, we're drinking, and I just remember, and I told my best friend, I was like, when I get to this number, when the account gets to this number, it does not matter what I'm doing, I'm closing every trade, I'm going fully into stables, and I'm cashing out like a large portion of this account, because it's like a huge mental number for me. And I remember hitting the number, showing my friend the phone, and he's like, let's go, close the positions. I take like 5 screenshots of the balance, and then like the devil on my shoulder is like, let it run, right? Naturally, wake up the next day, we had like a 30% across the board pullback in the entire market. I freaked out. I closed everything with market orders, which naturally made the market bounce fucking 50% to the upside from exactly where I closed. And I went from being at my number that I had basically set out at the start of the bull market to get to like 25% lower, and like 3 months of solid trading completely wiped out in effectively one day. And like, I'm lucky that I can take a big loss like that, and it's not the end of the world, right? But like that, even if you know what you're doing, like Keyboard just said, like, you can do this for 10 years, you're still going to experience all of these things. You're still going to make mistakes. You're still going to have these battles. Like, it's like when I go golfing, like if I slice, I know why I sliced. That doesn't change the fact that I did it. You know what I mean? So like, I know what went wrong here. I deviated from the plan. Doesn't make it any easier to, you know, accept that. But that was a very hard L to take. And then I basically shorted.
What was the number? You have to tell us what the number was.
That I was getting to?
Yeah. What number?
So I got this particular trading account to 10 million. And then the next morning, once I had closed everything, it was under 8. So that was fucking shitty. And and it's just like, it's so fucking true. Like, I literally showed my friend my phone and it just crossed. And he's like, all right, let's go close everything. And I'm just like, no, like, just so dumb. So dumb.
It's tough. Like, when you're hitting singles, when you're hitting singles and you keep on hitting singles and it's going so well, like, sometimes you just want to go, oh, I'm trying to hit a home run. And then that's the mental struggle, right? Like, even when it's going so well, to not just be like, you feel like you're on top of the world, nothing's going to hurt you. And then it's, you know, the market just comes back and just completely destroys you.
Yeah, it'll always humble you.
Yep, strikeout instead of a home run. I remember that night. I think we were, I don't know if you were with me, but we were sitting in Discord with Gainsey, and we were all trading that live. And I was on the other side of your trade, fortunately, but it didn't matter in the end anyway. But
I was partying. I was like, oh man, like, I'm a fucking legend. You know what I mean?
Yeah, man. We've all been there. That's that euphoria one. It slapped you back down. It's like trading. I mean, like, how many times in the ring you just like get knocked down, the ref counts you to 8 and you got to get up again. I mean, literally, it's just a constant battle of attrition against yourself, the psychology side of it. I mean, like, that's what makes it fun though. I mean, every day you come in and you get to, you know, fight yourself. What other job can you do that?
Yeah, well, people think it gets easier. It doesn't. You just get kind of, I think, more, you just kind of get battle hardened and you're kind of used to it. But it's literally, like you said, every day is a new day and you get to come back and sit down and be like, all right, let's fucking go again.
Yeah, you need a real short memory.
Let's maybe get into how you actually think about each trade then, or like how you think about it, maybe even each month. But how much, if you have X amount in a portfolio, how much are you risking for each trade? What sort of setup do you need to say yes in terms of risk reward? how much are you aiming to make each month? Like, how do you think about stuff from a risk standpoint?
Yeah, so I mean, I think that like actual number of how much you're aiming to make, that's all relative to account size, right? But personally, generally, I'm aiming anywhere between average trade is 2 to 3%, upwards as high as maybe 5% of that trading account on a given trade. Meaning if I get stopped out, 5% of that account is the stop out amount, right? So if that's a 100K account, right, $5,000, is that right? Or is that 10%? Yeah, $5,000. And that would be where, if I'm stopped. So people commonly have the misconception of being like, okay, like my stop goes here because if it goes below here, I lose 5,000. First thing I do is I determine where on the chart my idea is wrong, right? So it's like, okay, here's why I'm entering where I'm entering. Here's where that idea is wrong. Here's where I would take my profit. And then my position size is determined based on, okay, what percentage of my account do I want to risk? How far is my stop from my entry? And then I could tell you the calculation. I don't even remember it anymore. All the trading exchanges have calculators. You just type it right in. Okay, stop here, entry here. Okay, that means you can open a 20 Bitcoin long and it will fit within your risk parameters. I generally won't take a trade that's less than 2R. I do have instances where I'll take trades where I think it's like, okay, I think this thing's just going to roll over and I just want to punt into it. Maybe it's not immediately, you know, a 2R setup, but generally 2 reward to 1 risk is what I'm aiming for. My strike rate is anywhere between 40 and 50%, right? So if you're hitting 2R, 3R per trade and you're winning 40 to 50% of your trades, you're making money. I think a lot of people, like, this is like the boring side of trading. I think that a lot of people like don't like to think about, but like, this is how I made a lot of my money, because doing this type of trading allowed me to build a bankroll that when Bitcoin is down 80 to 85% off its all-time high, I was able to just shove into spot. And that's what really made me most of my money last cycle, was like, I shorted all the way down in 2017, 2018. And then when Bitcoin was at 3,000, 4,000, Ethereum was at like 80 to 100, I just bought a shitload of spot. And no matter how good of a trader you are, what did Ethereum go to? Almost 5,000? It went 80 to 4,900. You're not out trading that. You know what I mean? Especially not with that kind of size. And that's how I feel about this cycle as well. I'm like, okay, if I start buying basically Bitcoin from here down to 10K, let's say, and it's going to go to 100, that's what, anywhere between a, you know, 6 to 10X on all of those buys. That's pretty damn good on just holding spot and not having to do anything. So that's how I structure my kind of portfolio, is like, I trade to get more money in a bear market so I can buy more spot. And then obviously in the bull run, I'm, you know, using that Bitcoin and Ethereum that I bought and potentially some altcoins to try and get more Bitcoin and Ethereum, because those are the underlying assets that are appreciating. But on a given week, you know, if I can turn over, you know, fucking 5R, right, that's pretty damn good. It doesn't sound exciting, but that money compounds quite quickly. And on a big account, that's a lot of money.
So 5R would be, like you just said, 100 grand account. You risk 5K with each trade, but you're making 25K in a week.
Yeah, that's insane, right? Most people are like, oh, it's like that. Why are you only risking so little? I'm like, if you can do this consistently, you can be making 6 figures a month trading on, you know, not that. I wouldn't recommend risking 5% initially. I think you should start lower, start at like 1 to 2, but even at 2%, right? Okay, so you're making 10K a week. That's $40,000 a week. Obviously, that's assuming, you know, you're going to have losses in there. You're going to be more like, but netting out 5R a week is really fucking good.
Yeah, man. Do you just like use your stop losses as a binary, like black and white spot where you're getting out of trade? Or do you ever like, you know, bring feel into your trades? Because for me, I literally like barely use stops in my trading. My trading is like a lot of feel based stuff. Like I have stops in my head where I'm getting out on the chart or getting in. But for me, it's mostly like, if it's just like the order books and everything, the momentum just doesn't feel right. And like, it doesn't follow through. Like you do an amazing job from our private chats at holding through all the bullshit and not getting duped on like fake outs and whatnot. And I think that's like, as a beginning trader for a lot of people, it's probably pretty tough to like hold through a lot of fake algo moves. Like So yeah. Do you just go by the stops, or like, how do you get through those algo type fake shit breakouts and reversals?
I think like both are a talent. Like you have a talent. Like sometimes you're in the chat and you're like, boys, like this is the one. Just short and like come back in hours, and then it dumps like 10%. You know what I mean? Like that's a skill. I think that's something that you just have an affinity for that you've developed over the years. And that's not something I personally have ever had success with. Like, you know, like Rookie is another guy who's got kind of that feel. Like he just knows, you know what I mean? And when he's like, dude, just long this, trust me. I'm like, okay. You know what I mean? That's never been me. I'm very much like systematic. So it's like, okay, my idea is wrong here. And if price is not gone here, I'm not wrong yet. Obviously, I do have some discretion involved. Like maybe I don't have a hard stop put in. I want to let it breathe. Excuse me. I want to let it breathe a little bit. But what I learned, and I think this is, it's much harder for new traders, but I think it's very valuable for new traders, is especially when you're just starting, put your stop entry and your take profit in all at the same time, and then don't fucking touch it. Because the amount of times that you are going to fuck yourself out of a trade by exiting early, right? Because it goes a little bit into the red, or it goes past your take profit, you don't close, and then it retraces half of the move. It's like incalculable the amount of stress, money you're going to waste doing that shit. So especially when you're learning, like, okay, where am I wrong? Where am I entering? Where am I right? Put all three of those orders in at once and then just let it do what it's going to do. I think as you get better at trading, you can start introducing a little bit more trade management, a little bit of feel, a little bit of discretion, and just watching other things other than just the chart. But I think I've saved myself countless times by just being like, okay, like I'm long based on this, and I know it looks like shit right now, but I still haven't been stopped out, so I'm gonna let it ride. And then, you know, I come back 2 days later and it worked out, even though it came close to getting me out.
You mentioned some of your biggest wins or a lot of the wealth has been generated from buying that dip in 2018, potentially like scaling into this dip now and averaging down. And you know, like when ETH moved from like $80 to $5K or whatever, that's a huge, 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 huge move. How do you think about like not selling at like a 3X or a 5X or a 10X? Like, how do you think about where your take profits are? And then if you think about this cycle, like let's say Bitcoin goes all the way down to 10K and maybe ETH goes back to three digits and you start averaging in, like how would you start thinking about, and I'm talking about spot positions here rather than like the leverage stuff. How do you start thinking about like where you would take some off or take profits?
Yeah, so I mean, I told a bunch of people this last cycle. Like, I started selling Bitcoin at 40,000, like, because you know I was up 10x on some of my buys. Like, so people are like, I'm like, you do not need to buy the bottom or sell the top. If you can catch 80% of the move, like, you crushed it. You know what I mean? So, I think having some sort of plan going into it is key, because it is very easy, as we all saw, to get bought up into the hype, right? The super cycle and all these fucking assholes who turned out to be shit traders being like, no, don't worry, it's going to 100K. Like, I don't think I sold any Bitcoin above like 65,000, where I think it went to 69,000 on that second pop. Like, I was already out of my spot. Doesn't mean I wasn't trading, but so I think you have to look at, I do believe we're seeing diminishing returns across the market, right? Like, I think Bitcoin went up from 3,000 to 60,000, that's a 20X. I don't think we're going to see a 20X from this next low to the next all-time high. I think it will be less, just like the previous cycle was even more. It went from, you know, like $100 to, you know, $1,100 or whatever it is. Like, I think we're seeing those diminishing returns. So I think conservatively, next all-time high on Bitcoin is above 100K. So that's where I would look to start scaling out, right? I think also having just a straight up multiple on buys, right? If I can get a 5X on any of my spot buys on Bitcoin and Ethereum, I don't think it's a bad idea to take some profit. You can always buy back. You can always, you know, reload on the dip and do things like that. But I think having a plan in advance is key. So 100K Bitcoin, you know, 10,000 ETH, I don't think are crazy, assuming you believe crypto's not going anywhere, and who knows how long this winter's going to be, but eventually we cycle again. I don't think those are crazy targets. And I think if you're buying below 1,000 Ethereum and below 20,000 Bitcoin, you got to be pretty happy with a 5 or 10x return on spot buys. And then I use the daily and the weekly chart. If you go at the daily and the weekly chart on Bitcoin and Ethereum, the entire uptrend, we never broke market structure. And as soon as we did, it was over, right? It's just very hard in the moment to see it happen. But if you go look at that run up to 60,000, like it was higher highs and higher lows every fucking time. And then when we finally made that lower low on the daily, the entire market reversed. So I'm usually scaling out well before we're even at the top. But then I know that, you know, the game has changed when that high time frame trend, you have to trust the high time frame trend. When you see those weekly swing lows get taken out, those daily swing lows get taken out, generally that leads to a large reversal in crypto.
How do you feel when you start scaling out and it's a little bit too early, and I don't know, let's say you start selling Bitcoin at 40K and then it pumps to like 45, 50 and then you're out and it's like 60, 65, 69. Like, are you sitting there thinking, well, yeah, like I've made the right trade and I made a ton of money and I'm happy with it? Or are you like, damn, like I sold too early, I should have held on? Or like, what goes through your mind in those situations?
I liken it like this. You're out at a party with some friends, you're having a good time, but you know you got some shit to do tomorrow, and you go home and then you see your friends out partying still and you're jealous, but then the next day they're all deathly hungover and dying, and then you don't care as much. Like, in the moment, you hate it. You're like, what the fuck? Like, I should still be long. Everyone's long but me. Everyone's getting rich but me. Like, that's just, it's just how you're going to feel, right? It's like, that is peak FOMO. Like, everyone is making money except for me. I should never have sold. I should buy back in. But then when the market is 60% lower a couple months later, then I start to feel pretty smart. So in the moment, yeah, you're going to feel like you probably fucked up. But, you know, generally, no one ever went broke taking profits. I'm also like, I'm a money maximalist. Like, I like crypto. I love crypto. I've gotten wealthy through crypto. I've made amazing friends through crypto. But I want stuff in the real world, right? Like houses, cars, etc. I can't buy any of that shit with crypto at this point. I can use crypto funds, right, to buy that stuff. But I like having wealth. There's a difference between real world wealthy and crypto wealthy. And if you start going to some of these crypto events, you will realize that there's different classes of people. There are the crypto rich people, and then there are the actually rich people. Because the crypto rich people have a bunch of crypto, but when the bill comes, they can't pay for it because they don't have a Visa that has bigger than $1,000 limit. You know what I mean? So, like, I like both. I want to be crypto rich, but I like being real world rich too. I like being able to go out and buy a nice dinner on my credit card, or go buy a fucking fancy car. Or be able to go on some crazy trip with my buddies and get bottle service or whatever. And you need real world money to do that. So I've always had levels of wealth in real dollars that are my goal. It was never like I want 1,000 Bitcoins. It's like I want $10 million. You know what I mean? And if I'm going to use Bitcoin and Ethereum to get there, by all means, let's do it. But I think there's like a little bit, you know, of a difference there. And so when I was selling on the way up here, I didn't care. I'm like, I'm putting real money in a real bank account that I can then go use to buy real shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah, man. I'm with you on that 100%. I mean, you need both. You definitely need the balance between real world wealth and crypto wealth. I'm real impressed with your mental game and your zen here. And with that, I mean, like, to get to that level of mental game and, you know, mental control, you must have like a good routine that you like follow every day, like trading journals, whether it be at, like, you know, just repetition on some scale to achieve that. So I'm wondering if you could go into like your routine and what you think every new trader should start as a routine to get that mental game straight.
Yeah, I'd say one thing that is, I think two things, maybe three things that are massively overlooked that aren't trading specific, but have 100% benefited my trading, is trying to have a improved sleep schedule, working out, and eating healthy. I like to party. Me and Keyboard and the boys, we like to throw down. We go party. We go get crazy. We do a lot of stupid shit. But when I'm trying to be in the zone, I'm 100% a better trader and just a better person when I'm eating right, when I'm exercising, and when I'm getting some semi-regular sleep. Doesn't mean I have to sleep, you know, I don't always get 8 hours a night or whatever, but like going to bed around the same time and waking up around the same time, that kind of circadian rhythm, I think is actually super important. Because when you're on screen in the morning, if I'm on the West Coast, right? If I'm on screen at 6 a.m., but I woke up at 5:45, I'm not nearly as sharp. If I woke up at 4:45, I already had my coffee, already went on a walk, and now I'm sitting down. Like, it makes a difference. I think in terms of what I think helped me get this level of kind of, you know, discipline was learning to trade in Forex. The times the market moved were very static, right? Like, there's New York Open, there's London Open, there's the Asia, like, there's just times of day where there was volatility. It's very predictable. Where crypto is not as predictable. I mean, obviously, over the last year or so, we've learned, okay, well, crypto is now basically a proxy for the S&P 500. But there was times where crypto would just move whenever it wants to move. It moves on the weekend. It moves in the middle of the night, where it's like, okay, I know if I'm trading equities, if I'm at my desk for New York Open, you know, an hour before New York Open, and then, you know, going into New York close, I'm going to catch most of the moves for the day. So having that ability to structure my day around when I actually had to be locked in was very important. I think that's something that is difficult in crypto, because it can be a little bit like, I mean, this is difficult as a trader. You don't have a boss, right? You don't have someone being like, show up at 9 and stay here till 5. And between 9 and 5, you got to do all of this shit. Like, you have to make that structure on your own. So what I had to do is I had to find out what worked for me. And so what worked for me is I'm not a morning person. So I hated trading New York because I'm 3 hours behind. So I had to get up at like 5 in the morning. So I started trading London session. That became when I would trade. So I had a routine where before I sat down and actually traded the London session, I had eaten my final meal of the day. I'd gotten out my journal. I'd written out my trade plan. I'd gone over all the things I'm looking for in the session based on the charts that I looked at. And then that way, when I sat down, I was actually in front of the computer. I was like a sniper. I only was executing on things that ticked every single one of my boxes. And I find that all the discipline that I built trading Forex and other markets, I've definitely given up a little bit of it in crypto, because crypto is still a little bit more like Wild Wild West. Like, sometimes you just make money just buying dumb shit, being early to something. It's not as kind of systematic as trading, you know, or trading TradFi is. But I do think the discipline that I built trading TradFi, being like, these are my work hours. I treated it like a job. I'm like, this is when I'm on screen. I'm not getting fucked up beforehand. I'm not drinking. I'm locked in. I have a game plan. I've got an agenda for the day. At the end of my trading session, I have a journal. I'm going through all the trades I took. I'm writing down the emotions that I felt during the trade, after the trade. Was it a win? Was it a loss? What could I have improved? And I did that for years. And so I don't do it nearly as much now. But I do think those years of that very hardcore, like, treating this as if, like, this is like my day job, this is what I do to make a living, that did help me kind of, you know, learn to roll with the punches a little bit more in crypto and maintain that discipline when things are a little crazy.
Look, I just hearing you talk, the level of discipline is obviously incredibly high. Our background is obviously more in NFTs, and you don't normally see that level of discipline, but it's amazing to see is so much more behind being a successful trader. Like, it's very easy to take a lot of people of taking massive risk on crypto Twitter and take them at face value. But when you lift up the hood, like, there's very disciplined risk taking, which I think a lot of people miss. I wanted to know, obviously now FTX has happened. You've already said that it was painful for you. That really sucks. I'm really sorry to hear about it. How are you approaching the future? Like, how are you planning on making that money back? Like, what are your aims right now in terms of your setups? Like, I just want to hear, like, how you're going to be approaching the next year or so.
Yeah, so I think the hardest thing about the FTX situation for me was, you know, beyond feeling like I was, you know, just robbed, because that's what it was. This was theft. This wasn't, you know, I did so many things right. Like, I sold near the top. I shorted on the way down. I was sitting on stables waiting for these black swans to happen. I knew this kind of shit was coming. I don't think anyone knew to the level of implosion we were going to see across the space. But I was waiting, you know, me and Keyboard, we're waiting for the meltdown. Like, we're doomers. I'm like, this, everything's bad. I'm just waiting for the fucking meltdown to happen so I can shove. And to then have a large portion of my buying power taken away from me was very frustrating. Obviously, I'd love to say that, like, I'm going to use it as 100% motivation and I'm back on the grind and I'm going to make it all back. That's the goal. But yeah, it's definitely, you know, it's frustrating. I like centralized exchanges because they offer the tools that I'm accustomed to coming from other markets, right? I know there are some solutions that are, you know, DeFi oriented trading where, you know, you can use stops and leverage and all these things. But I'm comfortable on a centralized exchange. So I had no issue having my money there and having it on one of the biggest exchanges in the world. I thought it was safe, you know, and I guess, you know, I learned a lesson because nothing's safe. I shouldn't have had as much money on there as I did. But obviously, hopefully the IRS isn't listening, but I wasn't KYC'd on that account, right? Or else I would have withdrawn it a lot quicker. And I heard some rumors and some people were telling me to get off, and I literally ignored them. I just didn't believe it was possible that they were going to implode. And I was on a plane to Dubai when it kind of all went down, and it went from, like, when I took off, it was rumors, to, like, when I landed, they were bankrupt. Like, it was that fast, and the withdrawals were frozen anyway. So in terms of making it back, it's annoying, but I have to remember that I still possess the skills that got me that account to that number in the first place, right? So I, in an ideal world, I should be able to make it back quicker than I made it the first time because the skills are already there. I know what I'm doing. So you haven't lost that. I still have money. It's not like I'm broke and zeroed out and I can't, you know, load up a new account and trade. It is annoying because I think the environment for trading isn't my favorite right now. You know, I think we were in a very nice downtrend for a long time when I was trading that account and I was making money. Now volatility's dried up. So maybe we'll get some volatility back and that will be beneficial for me. But you just gotta, what I do anytime I take a huge loss, I have my journal. I write the negative number at the top of a page in red and in brackets because it's negative. And then every day I write how much I made that next day. And then at the end of the week, I total it up and then I have the new number. And then I slowly just pick away at it until it's zero. So this one will probably take a while, but I still have the skills. And that's what everyone listening, if you lost money on FTX too, like, you made that money with your skill set, right? I know it sucks that you lost the money and the time it took, all that stuff, it's awful, but you can do it again. You haven't lost the skills. They can't take that away from you.
Yeah, I mean, this has been a great chat. I mean, like, I think everything you've been saying is great to hear, especially in this environment for everybody. And I mean, like, I even like hearing it. So thanks for sharing all that. As we're coming to a close here, I guess we just want to know, you know, is there anything you wish you'd done differently on the way? Are you where you envisioned? Is this what you're going to keep doing in the future? You're going to keep trading and grinding it out? Or what's going on for future main there too?
So you look back and you're like, oh, I wish I would have sold this. I wish I would have done this. Like, at the end of the day, like, you can't live life like that. You know what I mean? Like, that's the fucking journey. Like, do I have bottle service bills that I wish I wouldn't have bought? And I would have, you know, same with you. Like, would I wish I wouldn't have spent that money? Like, last Dubai trip, I came back with 3 watches. Like, oh, I wish I would have just kept that cash. You know what I mean? Like, did I really need that watch? But you can't live life like that, in my opinion. Like, I think people who are very frugal with their money and, like, don't spend it and enjoy it, like, I don't think that's a way to live. I think it's all about the journey. It's all about the experience. I wouldn't change a fucking thing. The people I've met, the mistakes I've made, it makes you who you are. And I'm not fucking going anywhere. I love trading. Like, I genuinely enjoy it. It's like going to war. Like, this is my arena. This is where I battle, and it's the only job I've ever had where I feel like 100% of my success is attributed to me. You know what I mean? There's no one else can take credit for the shit. And I tell people this all the time. They'll be like, oh, you posted that trade ID and I made money. I was like, I didn't do shit. You pressed the button. That's your money. You risked it. You press the button. That's all you. And I love that about trading is it's like everything that goes right or wrong is 100% attributed to me. And that's how I like to live life. It's like everything can be boiled down to decisions that you make. So I'm not going anywhere. I do think I want to continue putting out more content. I really genuinely enjoy doing YouTube videos. So that's going to be something I focus on in the future here. So if you guys aren't following me on YouTube, check me out on there. I do a weekly live stream. But yeah, man, we're going to make it all back. We're going to, and hopefully this next bull run, whenever that may happen in 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, who knows at this rate, we don't let these fucking snakes lead the industry to fucking ruin, man. These geniuses are never as smart as they seem.
Yeah, no, I agree with you, especially with Zoo and Kyle trying to come back and like blame Sam all of a sudden. Just
fuck
spin
those
zone.
Guys.
You're just throwing a full fucking spin zone right now, which is hilarious. So the last closing question that we ask everyone every episode is just, I mean, you've given a lot of it already, but just boil down real quick, just like a simple answer. What advice do you have for people not to get wrecked?
Right now. Okay, so if you don't want to get wrecked, first of all, I wouldn't be risking any, and what you guys are learning, right, is things can implode beyond belief. No one thought FTX was going to go down. No one thought 3AC could blow up. So what you're learning is that whatever the worst you think that can happen, it can be worse. So always, 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 always do not risk anything that, in my opinion, would cause a material change to your ability to put food on your table, take care of yourself, pay your expenses. That's a mistake I made early on in my trading career. I risked way too much. I lost all. I had to move back in with my parents. I did not want to do that. I think that you should be taking right now, I think for most people, taking calculated risks is a lot smarter than going, you know, like all in on something with all the money that you have, because we don't know how bad things can get. So if you want to get into this crypto game, you want to get into this trading game, set aside an amount of money that you are prepared for it to all go to zero, because it absolutely fucking can. And that's going to be the money that you learn with and then, you know, build from there. But take care of yourself, take care of your friends, your family in times like these, you know, and make sure that you can still obviously, you know, pay rent and eat food and things like that. Like, you don't need to do this full time. I think that's a common misconception people have. Like, I need to do crypto full time. I know lots of people who have full time jobs and who are still crypto chads. Yeah, don't risk more than you're willing to lose, I guess, and not your keys, not your coins.
Yeah, I think that's sage advice. Appreciate you coming on, man. Yeah, everyone go like watch Trader's Main's YouTube videos and whatnot. As you can see, he has a lot of wisdom and wise words and is a great trader. So next we have coming up, we have the Rollbot, the Rollbit spins, which everyone is waiting for. I'm going to let OSF take it from there. Main, you could stick around if you want to see if anyone wins any of these big money NFTs.
Can
but
I
we
win?
Really appreciate you coming on. Unfortunately, yeah, you can't win. But I mean, maybe
it.
You can. I don't know. We'll put you in the RNG box, but your number probably won't come up. But
that's okay. So. I don't mind watching.
But yeah, stick around, man. But we really appreciate you coming on. It was an awesome episode. I think it was very insightful, especially the mindset side. So appreciate that, brother.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming on, man. It was a great show. All right, we're gonna close it out with the loot box spin. We did ask Main if he wanted to put any NFTs in it, so we've got a bunch of pandas in here. Looks like some rare ones as well. There's a Bored Ape, Trippy Ape, a punk with a hoodie. It's a Golden Wreck guy. If you guys go to the pinned tweet I have in the show, just on the top of your screens, there's a little link there, and it shows you. If you click on that link, you can see all the NFTs that are in this box.
Oh, wait, the code too, OSF. Don't forget.
Yeah. So before I do that, before we do the spin, we're going to do the code. This is the last code for the show. It gives you a bunch of free trades. The code is TraderCoupon99. TraderCoupon99, all one word. And if you scroll to the first pinned tweet, you can see how to claim that coupon code on Rollbit's platform. So it looks like we're going to have three spins. So I think how we're going to do this is how are we going to do it again, KBM? Are you going
to pick? I think everyone who wants to come up or have a chance to come up, request to speak right now. And OSF's going to scroll to a random person. That's going to be our number one. Then I'm going to hit an RNG generator. It's going to come up with between 1 and 50 from that person. We'll get three numbers and it'll be from that person down. I mean, like, we're trying to find a better way, but this is obviously decently fair. But if you didn't understand it, just have some faith and believe everyone has a fair chance here.
Yeah. I guess the idea is we're trying to make it as random as possible.
Yeah, we're trying to make it as random as possible without people having to like fill out forms, without bots being involved. But it's a work in progress. But hopefully somebody wins something. All right, anyway, all right. Request now. We give you another like 15 seconds.
All right, 15 seconds to request. And I'll pick a random.
Then just so bring three people up, right?
Yep.
We're going to do three people up.
Nice.
All right.
All right, so the random person I'm going to pick is...
So don't say the name. That's just the person we're starting number one on for the RNG.
Oh, okay, I see. So I'm not going to say the name. Yeah. All right.
So that's just our first person, so it's not first come, first serve. All right, for the numbers, it's going to be the fourth one down from that.
Okay.
And then so, invite them up.
Invite them up, okay. Should I do it now?
Yep, do it. 34th and 44th. We're hitting all the fours somehow.
All right. Fiscalbits.eth is coming up. And then, oh, dude, this is hard to get the right number because
now
this,
you
the
have
screen,
to count it slowly.
Well, the screen got to go full rain as well.
Man.
So
full
like,
rain man, do it.
Yeah, full rain man. All right.
I believe in you. So it's 34 and 44. Look at that. RNG, all fours. A lot of fours. Play a lot of.
All right, we've got this guy, Trips A. And then the next one is someone called Mr. Wolf.
No, what?
Yeah, and hopefully we can get these spins somehow so everyone can see them while they're happening in the future, too. That'd be sick, because right now they're just on OSF screen and he has to tell you if you won. Very suspenseful. But, you know.
What's up, guys? How are you doing?
GM.
To the guests.
Yo. GM.
Let's run it. Everyone feeling lucky?
Let's run it. Cool.
Let's get it.
I'm going to record my screen first this time just in case someone wins. So okay. first is fiscal bit, I think. So
yeah, spin it.
Let me
we need like some good background music next time too. We need to clean this up.
we can hear make this way more efficient. You can hear the spin, yeah. I'm just bringing up my screen recorder real quick so we can record it.
Got it.
Just in case someone does get it.
We're getting sued, aren't we?
All right. Okay, here we go. Fiscal bit, you ready? Here we go.
I think that's a yes.
Spin number one.
Yeah, totally. I can't hear the spin today. So I guess we're just taking your word for it.
No, here we go. You're gonna hear it now. There we go.
Oh, there it is.
You just missed winning a robot, but you won 801.44 RLB, which is the robot native token. So congrats on that.
Awesome. DM. Thank you.
On to the next one.
Send me a DM with your Solana address. Because it's on Solana. Wait, and I'll send it over to you. No, that's real.
Oh, no.
Anyway. All right, next one. Who's next? Tripsy's next, right?
Yep.
Okay, here we go. Spin number two.
Oh, there's some sound effects.
And we have another RLB winner. You won 323.99 RLB.
Let's go.
All right, saving the best for last, it appears.
Save the best for last. All right. Mr. Wolf, it's all on you. Here we go.
Come on, let's go, guys.
Carry the show, please, man.
I only got GM. Let's do it.
GM. All right, here we go.
Put it on Mr. Wolf's back.
You won a Rekt guy. Congrats.
Oh.
Let's go.
Oh, you hear that? Whoa.
Sound. We got some fucking... You won a Rekt guy. There we go, buddy.
There we go.
What kind of Rekt guy? Was it a good one?
You won Rekt guy. Serial 2965. It's the one with the yellow hoodies. He's carrying a Wagmi bottle. It's a pretty cool one, so congrats.
Well, I got a new PFP coming up. And
oh, there we go.
I'd like to thank you guys and OSF Mind. I've been following you guys for quite some time now, man. Keep up the great job. And Furoku, all you guys. And thanks a lot, man. This is insane. If it wasn't for bad luck, I'd have no luck except for today. But
there we go. No, great episode. Thanks for everybody coming and supporting. I mean, like, have a good holiday in the U.S. We had a great show. It was a good time.
All right, cheers, everyone. Thanks,
great guest.
Thanks, Drug Radio. Yep. Thanks, Rollbit. It was a good show. Cheers,
happy
guys.
Happy Thanksgiving. Bye bye.